He said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
How are you feeling today?
Well, we just got in here, and it's a little nippy outside. You can see your breath, so my nose is running. So if I keep sniffing through this whole thing, and it's a little nippy in here, too. So, yeah, that's how I'm doing. It's a little chilly. For us people who love paradise, it's chilly. But this is actually the warmest place in all of Canada.
No kidding. What about that storm that's approaching and that's hitting back east? What's going on back there?
I don't know. But
is it the wrath of God?
I don't know what it is.
Actually, back in the Dark Ages, that's what people would believe.
Right.
They would believe that God has cursed them and their land, and so they must flee.
Well, you should flee if it's that cold, or stay indoors.
I ask myself, why are people still there?
I don't know. Then in the summertime, it's so hot and humid. I don't know. I guess that's what they're used to.
Won't it be nice when the world changes and it becomes the United Nations of Earth and the entire planet is one country, so that you can go anywhere you want, anytime? And there's no immigration, there's no limitations.
And the weather was like Hawaii the whole time? That sounds good to me.
Well, no, I mean, if you gave everyone the chance and the opportunity and the freedom to do that, first of all, it starts with a consciousness. But if you said to everyone on the planet, you can go and live in a beautiful environment and not have to put up with hurricanes and cyclones and devastation and freezing cold winters and humidity, where would you go and live? And if you could go there to this place called, say, Hawaii, and there's lots of places on the planet like Hawaii. There's lots of beautiful places. I wonder if everybody would go live there.
I don't know. But didn't we see a documentary on, I think it was about Minnesota, and how there's nobody in the streets in the wintertime. And what they do is they build these skywalks so you can go from one building to another. Nobody goes outside. I don't really understand, but maybe some of our listeners are from Minnesota, so please let me know why you'd want to live there.
I try to understand it, because I've gone to a lot of these places and talked to people and met people and then wondered why they stay. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that, number one, they were born there, and people have this address fixed in their head. Well, I was born there, so therefore I must stay here. Two, they're connected emotionally to their family and friends that they grew up with, and they can't bear the thought of living in another place, somewhere else in the world, and not being close to what they're comfortable and secure with.
So that uncomfortableness of the weather is their comfort zone.
Well, they put up with it because they find security in their love with their family.
Right.
And then when you get into their family, you find out that it's incredibly dysfunctional.
As most families probably are.
Like, why are you still there? You're saying that you're staying. Now, it's not always that way. And sometimes, like, we're grandparents, and it's nice being here close to our granddaughter and our children. But for me, I think for you as well, it's just not enough to keep us here for the rest of our lives and to prevent us from going out into the world and finding what it is that's out there.
Well, especially when it comes to health issues. You know, if you actually cannot handle the cold and it's miserable and you get all cramped up and your bones and joints are aching, I mean, why would you want to live there for the sake of your daughter or your son or your mother and your father?
Hey, if the bird
if my health is failing, if I can't be well because of the weather, but I'm doing it for an emotional reason, then what good am I? What good am I if I don't take care of myself?
Wouldn't it be nicer if you went to a place where you were well and whole, and then the people would come to you?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that what happened in Hawaii?
That's the way
it is.
They
came to us.
That's the way it is.
Hey, we are Borg, and the world and everyone else must adapt to us.
You're Borg. I'm not a Borg. You're a Borg in the hoo-ha.
We're a benevolent Borg. Okay, baby, what's cooking?
What's cooking is, because it's Valentine's Day, February, the month of love, this is my sweetheart's favorite chocolate cake. And I've made this cake many, 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 many times, but I actually put it into a recipe because everybody who tried it said they absolutely love it. So it's a chocolate cake with a chocolate cream cheese icing. Just the sound of it sounds good, doesn't it?
Delicious.
I mean, you got to like chocolate if you dark chocolate if you like this. But this is my sweetheart's favorite. And who's my sweetheart? Everybody in my family's my sweetheart. You thought it was just you, right?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, but you are my sweetheart.
No, I don't buy into that.
It's simply a delicious and healthier version of a decadent chocolate cake, and it's very easy to make in a pinch, although it doesn't require the cream cheese icing to get Cupid involved. When you top this cake with the icing, your heart will dance and love will spread throughout the room.
No doubt.
So what I do is you can use whole wheat flour, spelt flour, or kamut flour. Now, they all have a little bit of a different texture unless they're the same grind, just so that you know that.
And you know what? We got to get rid of the wheat. I'm really convinced that wheat is a massive problem, and it's pro-inflammatory. You know, I just had some the other day, and my joints are aching a bit. And I absolutely know from that experience, without changing anything else, and this was a really good quality wheat. It's a whole grain. Still, wheat
it's
is
the gluten. It could be the gluten.
It's not meant to be consumed by humans.
Right.
It's ruining
us. I'm going to start working with things like almond flour, amaranth flour, those type of flours now. So you'll be hearing more about
that. And the only exception maybe is if it's sprouted. This was not a sprouted.
Yes, exactly.
And I crossed the line. And
Was I when you crossed the line there, buddy?
You were on the other side.
Okay, anyway, I've got like, let's just, for example, this is, I already have done this recipe. It's published in the Vista magazine, so go Vista Mag online. It's for the February issue. So let's just say 3 cups of whole wheat flour, 3 cups of rolled oats, 4 scoops of chocolate protein powder. Now, this could be whey or hemp, pea, rice blend, 6 heaping teaspoons of unsweetened cocoa powder, dark Dutch, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, 1 cup of chopped walnuts or pecans, and 1 cup of currants or raisins. Now, that is the dry ingredients. And then we have the wet ingredients that I add into a blender would be 2 cups of crushed pineapple with the juice. This could be fresh or tinned. 1 small grated apple, any type, it doesn't matter. 2 cups of unpasteurized honey, 2 teaspoons of pure vanilla extract, 1/2 cup of unsalted butter or coconut oil, and 4 whole eggs. Blend all that together, then mix the wet with the dry, and then add this into a greased baking tin. I usually use parchment paper now. I'm born again on parchment paper. I love that stuff. At 350 degrees, a 12 to 9 inch cake tin, and there you go. Leave it in for about 30 minutes or until it's firm on the touch and the sides start to come out from the pan. And it is absolutely delicious.
I like it without the icing.
You like it without, well,
Well, the icing's great, but just without the icing makes for almost like a, I don't know.
A loaf, yeah.
It's like a loaf.
It is dense. And the density comes from the protein powder. Now, you can make it without the protein powder, but it won't be as dense. It's kind of like a tort. And the more protein powder you put in, the heavier it's going to be. Right? So you can take the protein powder out if you want to, but we like to add a little bit of protein
powder.
Yeah,
and if you whack yourself out with it and you can't sleep that night, like if you have a late night snack, it's probably because of the methylxanthines in the cocoa.
Oh.
Right? Because like eating chocolate can affect your metabolism like drinking coffee. You know, like kids get all wired up on cocoa.
Yeah.
It's not always because of the sugar.
Right.
And sometimes it is. But cocoa has a stimulatory effect, which is why it has almost a sexual connection in history.
Oh, there you go.
You dip the strawberries in the chocolate. They always have that with the champagne in the honeymoon suite.
Oh, yes. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know. I never worked any honeymoon suite.
Those days are gone.
Oh, you're just so romantic. Anyway, when we get into the chocolate cream cheese icing, now you can make this kind of icing with any flavor you want, but I used 2 packages of cream cheese icing and 1/2 cup of unsweetened cocoa powder and 1 cup of unpasteurized honey, and then you just blend it all together with a beater, and it's just absolutely delicious. And it is, there's no sugar added, just that your sweetener would be the honey, and that's what we do, and it's absolutely delicious. But like I said, you can make cupcakes out of this, big cupcakes, little cupcakes, loaves out of it. You don't have to add the icing to it, but the icing's really, really good.
It'd be a good snack for a lumberjack.
Oh, yeah.
Right, for those construction workers?
Oh, yeah.
You ever see what they eat when those trucks come up?
No.
It's
but
horrendous.
I do know it's not healthy.
It's ugly. It's horrible.
Well, I've even seen on movie sets the way they eat. It's pretty disgusting. That, I mean, they've got so much money, these movie sets and these big stars, and they're eating crap. But let them do it. Go for it.
Yeah, we got to sleep in the bed that we make.
Absolutely. So there you have it. That's my sweetheart's favorite chocolate cake. Visit Vista Mag online, and you can see that recipe this month.
And by the way, I wonder where my piece is lately. Like every time
Your piece of what?
My piece of sweetheart chocolate cake. The last time you made it, I went to you know, uncover the cover on it, and there was nothing in there.
No.
It was gone.
Well, Ruby has her friends over, and then Daisy comes over. She sneaks in. Daisy's got the key to our house.
Isn't it amazing how many friends you have when you got this cake outside?
Yeah.
And then when it's gone, they disappear?
Well, that's a good way to get our family together. I always invite all the kids for... They don't want to come and see the parents, so I always
invite
them.
Yeah, the bottom line, parents, is that your kids aren't really interested in seeing you at all. They just want your food.
That's right.
So that's how you get them over.
And if it's good food, too.
Yeah, you put on the big spread, and you tell them to come over, and as soon as it's gone, they're like exit stage left.
Exactly.
But that's the way it is. Suck it up, sweetheart.
Well, there you go.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's a great one. Okay, let's move on. Who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Len Osanek and Dr. Corey Hawley.
Who?
Professor Corey Hawley, Dr. C.
No, that was a good one.
That was
I really
a good
enjoyed
interview.
That. I don't think Len got much of a word in edgewise. But
what
he
new?
Said was powerful and potent.
Absolutely. And just so you know, we did edit a few things out because it was a little bit too hardcore.
The graphic detail?
Yeah, the graphic detail, which we have to do.
The vernacular?
Yeah, there was a vernacular. Yeah,
I mean, there's a real Corey Hawley, and believe me, he's like leading at the truck stop.
Thanks.
When I get up on my, I guess, my
soapbox,
I let it fly. And, you know, actually, it's a lesson in being true to yourself, but we... did give it some editing, I guess, massaging.
Mm-hmm.
But the juice of it is still there, and I really enjoyed having the opportunity to tie in with the Zeitgeist. Speaking of which, you know, we just watched Zeitgeist 3, and wasn't that phenomenal?
Yeah, Zeitgeist moving forward. It's the third movie in the trilogy.
Yeah, the science, the neurobiology, genetic determinism, how the fetus in the womb is being molded and affected in the womb. Has nothing to do with coming outside. You know how little babies, when they're born, are so vulnerable? And they explain that. And, you know, they compare a human being to a colt. And I've seen this like a giraffe or an elephant. As soon as those mammals are born, they're walking around and they're nursing and they're functional. It's because the human brain isn't developed. So humans are born underdeveloped, and the reason they are is because their head starts to swell up, and if they were fully developed in the womb, they couldn't get out. Isn't that amazing?
It certainly is amazing. It's a miracle. It
yeah.
really is.
So when they pop out, you got an underdeveloped
yes.
baby
yes.
that's not fully developed
yes.
yet, and it doesn't really get developed until
it doesn't have any motor skills at all.
No, and,
right?
and all of that normally occurs in the womb in
mm-hmm.
other mammals, like
mm-hmm.
in a chimp or an
mm-hmm.
elephant or a giraffe.
Yeah.
Which is very cool. So
very
it's our forebrain that develops and expands in size, and that's what makes us human. You have to watch this Zeitgeist 3. For the science alone, for the vision of a better tomorrow, a great future, and how science is going to change the world and make it a better place.
It's all about science, which makes you happy, right?
Well, the reason I train is because of science.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I eat the way I do is because of science.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I think the way I do rationally is because of a scientific method that I've learned to incorporate in my brain.
All right. Well, thank you, Len. Thank you, Dr. Hawley.
Yeah. And it's always good to bring to mind things that are important. When's the last time you people out there had a good chin wag with someone you care about and there were no holds barred? Like you just sit down and let it all hang out, and whether it's with your son or daughter or husband or your best friend, do you have an opportunity to really speak your mind?
And nobody holds anything against each other. You can just be who you are and think what you want, and they're not going to leave going like, what an idiot. You know, because everybody has their own thoughts.
Well, that's what I demand from a friend. A
yeah.
friend must allow me to be myself,
mm-hmm.
and if they do not, they are not my friend.
Right. And then you have to let them be themselves as well. It's a win-win situation.
Totally. And
right.
why wouldn't you? What are you afraid of? If you can't sit down and let someone speak their mind and talk about sex or drugs or religion or the world affairs or their personal history and events that happen, if you can't take the time to actually sit and listen and not criticize, not condemn, not destroy, not tear apart, but actually pay attention. If you can't do that, then what kind of a person are you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you that afraid? Are you mm-hmm. that insecure
mm-hmm.
that you can't let someone actually present a different opinion or concept? And if you're not willing to do that, then I would say it's time to change.
Right.
Change up, buddy.
Right. I'm just looking at your hair right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want you to know.
I love
my hair. As you've seen
hair.
On our Chi-E newsletter, Corey's hair.
I'm letting it all hang
he's
loose.
He's definitely looking more like a mad scientist
every day. I'm getting ready to return to Hawaii.
Oh, brother.
I am a true surfer. I've discovered who and what I am, and it was in Hawaii. And I ain't never cutting my hair again. It's a symbol of my freedom, and the longer it gets, the smarter I get.
Okay. I think there's something to that.
Anyways,
there you go. Thank you, Lynn, and thank you, Corey, for your special guest interview.
Right on. Okay, let's get into our CHI Highway to Health update. What's happening in the Highway to Health?
Oh, the Highway to Health. Very interesting yesterday, which is getting my blood boiling, was on Oprah Winfrey's show. She had this gal on about what they were talking about was all...
a certified vegan.
A certified vegan, yes. She was not a nutritionalist by no means, had no background in education in any kind of capacity, but she was a vegan for 7 years. And all of the Oprah Winfrey staff was going to become vegan. I think it's vegan. No meat, no cheese,
no eggs, no milk, no dairy, nothing from an animal. Plants only.
Which but got my blood boiling was the fact of what they're doing is they're simulating meat. It's meatless, but they're adding like tofu on a burger. And they're going through the store and everything is like frozen soy, turkey, lofu, fufu. I don't know what it is, but I was just really getting upset.
It's all processed, texturized, manufactured,
right.
Dead, sterile food.
And I'm looking at all these food that they're serving, and it's all breads, buns, bagels, pasta. Where's the salad?
Where's the fruit? There was no raw food. No living food.
No. And I'm thinking, is this what you're promoting
here? What the hell with all those packaged foods? Why don't you just cook some beans or some lentils?
Exactly.
If you're going to go vegan, vegetarian, use the natural food.
And then this gal's saying, that the beans, lentils, and legumes are just packed with tons of protein.
Baloney. BS. Double B.
Baloney.
There's a minuscule amount of protein in beans, legumes, and lentils. It is extremely low in biological value. The amount of nitrogen that you retain from it is almost nil compared to what is possible to obtain from eating the animals and the animal, I guess, byproducts, like with the eggs and the cheese. Nobody really understands this. No one gets the biological value element. We're humans and we're omnivores. And then they also don't get into the fact, like, for example, we bought a carrot juice yesterday in the mall, Ruby and I, and Ruby said, wow, that's packed full of vitamin A. And I said, Ruby, there's no vitamin A in any carrot, in any plant. It does not exist in plants. She says, what are you talking about? You guys raised me on this. And I said, no. It contains beta-carotene, which is converted if you're well, have a proper functioning thyroid, and your metabolism is in order, and your nervous system and your biochemistry, which for most people, that's not even true. So vitamin A is only in animals. It's only in animal fat.
Okay, so then right after I heard this, I turned on the television, and on The Doctors, that show on television, it sounds like I watch a lot of TV, but I watch my specific shows, The Doctors were talking about vitamins, and they were saying how carrots contained vitamin A. And if you look on the back of a carrot package, those little carrots, it says vitamin A. So the world is being told that it's vitamin A. Carrots contain vitamin A.
Yeah, so just let me clarify this. Provitamin A, or beta-carotene, is a member of the carotenoid family. These are fat-soluble substances. It is not retinol. It is not vitamin A. Vitamin A only exists in animals. It's made inside the animal's body by the animal consuming the carotenoids. If it can do this, and under stress, it can't do this. So it's really easy to become deficient in vitamin A if you're a vegan or a vegetarian because you never, ever get a direct source of vitamin A. Here's another example. The essential fatty acid, alpha-linolenic acid, omega-3. It's in the plants, and then it's converted into EPA or DHA in animals. So EPA and DHA is not in plants. It's only in animals. So the parent fatty acid is in plants. We eat the plant. And hopefully, if everything's hunky-dory and we're well, we'll be able to convert that parent plant source, omega-3 parent, into and up the ladder metabolically into these longer-chain fatty acids, which are very important for the brain. But you never will find EPA or DHA in a plant. You have to eat animals. And there's tons of research that says both are ideal, and if you can't get one or the other, then the best way to go is to get the EPA, especially as you age, because your ability to convert these parent fats and carotenoids into the metabolites that we have to have is decreasing over time.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, they were talking about a meatless Monday. But the thing, which I think is a wonderful idea, meatless Monday, go more vegan. I agree with that on one day. But that doesn't mean you have to...
I think it's ridiculous.
No, but listen, that doesn't mean you have to pretend that you're putting tofu on top of your meat, like meat sauce. Instead of meat sauce, using tofu. Why not just have a day where you eat just raw fruits and vegetables or steamed fruits and have shakes? Why do you have to pretend to have meat?
It's fanaticism.
Why do you have to pretend to have meat?
You don't need to have any special day for anything. It's ridiculous. Retard. Go live with some natives. They don't have meatless Mondays.
Yes.
Go live with some American Indians when they hunt to survive. That's why they hunt.
But
if they don't eat, they die.
But the thing is, as well, they were talking about when they actually processed the cow in order to get the meat from the cow, they don't want to upset the cow. As you were saying, if the cow is not stressed out, then it will be able to produce these essential fatty acids, right?
If the cow isn't stressed out.
Right, you said if there's no stress in the cow. You just finished saying that.
I wasn't talking about stress in the cow.
Okay, forget all that.
If
you went back.
No, they're talking about adrenaline.
Yes. And that's stress, a form of stress.
Well, it's not a form of stress. It's a consequence of being underdressed and stressed out.
Which would taint the meat.
It's kind of like
that's
when...
That's what they talk about, the kosher meat.
Yeah, but there's some degree of truth to that. But what happens when a cheetah is running down a gazelle in Africa? You think the thing is under stress?
Yeah.
It's
whatever.
Baloney. All you have to do is look at nature. Now, nature is a dictator. I love that line in Zeitgeist. Whether you like it or not, nature is a dictator. Oh, that's so beautiful. And we have to submit to the laws and the rules of nature, whether you like it or not. You deny her, you disobey her, and you're sunk like the Titanic.
Yep.
So what we do is we understand what these laws are. Like, you know, all these scientists who discover these laws, they didn't invent them. They just discovered them. They just put these equations together that help us understand nature, like gravity and entropy. No man invents this stuff.
Right.
We don't make it up. We just come to terms with what it is.
Right.
So a lot of what's being propagated or promoted and sold on television is fanatical.
Yes.
When it comes to health. It's all so simple. What you do is you develop a consciousness focused on what you require. What is the prime directive of CHI? Supply your biological demand. So our course of nature, to some degree, demands that we find out what our biological demand is, personally, individually, and then you just supply it.
Right.
That's what you do. So there's no meatless Monday. There's no veganism. There's no vegetarianism. There's no nothing. It's just you're a human. You need to eat. You supply the demand, and that's how you stay well.
Are you done?
I'm never done. I will never be done. And on my deathbed, I will be giving a lecture on my deathbed.
So anyways, we've talked to a lot of people who are vegetarian and vegan, which is, you know, wonderful. But I always say, I bet you I eat more fruits and vegetables and have a healthier diet than you do. So basically, on that, whatever you want to call it, meatless Monday, just load up with raw vegetables, steamed vegetables, beautiful fruits, nuts, seeds. Really enjoy that aspect and forget trying to mock meat. But I do understand that you don't need to eat red meat 7 days a week or chicken 7 days a week, whatever it is that you do.
And you know what? Eating has nothing to do with religion, although people bring religion in it, and that's why they suffer as a consequence.
Right.
They distort biology, bring in the religion,
right,
and then they force themselves to adopt these fanatical, bizarre, dark age concepts, which have nothing to do with the current science of thought.
Exactly.
And everything that we have today that's of any benefit is because of science, period.
Right. So basically what I'm trying to say there, Mr. Rant and Rave, is, you know...
You talk about being sick. I'm sick. I'm sick of the sickness. I'm sick of the sick people.
And I qualify your meat, fish and chicken. Qualify that. You know, because it's like
a woman in a nightclub. You got to qualify your meat.
It's tainted. I mean, you know, what are your eggs? You know, the meat is what they eat. You know, what are they eating? What is the cow eating? What is the chicken eating? That's the quality of the food.
Yeah,
so
that was a point they got across.
Basically, is a great thing to live by.
Yeah, but they're doing it wrong.
Yes, exactly.
You don't turn into a fanatic to focus on the quality of food. everything is wrong. It's like George Carlin said, everything is BS.
Yeah.
We cannot reform what is destroying us. We have to terminate it. We have to kill it. We have to pull the roots out and kill the weeds because they're strangling everyone's knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that. And this Michael, is it Pollan?
Yes.
Is that the guest who wrote The Omnivore's Dilemma? That's a great read, by the way.
Yeah.
He was the guest, and I like him because he recognizes that humans are omnivores, like crows and raccoons and bears. Yes, we can eat anything, pretty much, but that doesn't mean we're going to thrive and be well. So people.
That doesn't mean you should eat everything, right?
Yeah, including all the refined junk crap.
Exactly. You want to qualify everything, what it is. Food needs to be qualified. Even your fruits and vegetables need to be qualified, right?
Absolutely,
yeah,
always.
Exactly.
And here's where we bring in the science, not the religion and not the hearsay and not the soothsayers. We need to focus on the science of nutrition, and that's what's going to bring us to
So you can see that when we were watching Oprah, both Corey and I were getting a little bit heated. So there you have it. So that we just wanted to comment on that. If, you know, I think it was an interesting...
Well, a friend of Daisy said, your dad has to come to terms with what veganism is. And believe me, I have. And I told the story to Daisy. I said, I have been a vegan. I put it to the test. And in 6 months, I didn't touch anything from an animal. And I lost my strength. And I lost 35 pounds of muscle. I was training at the beginning. I was healthy at the beginning. And I lost my health and power and vitality. It was diminished. So there's no way that anyone is going to say to me, Corey, you need to become a vegan. Because at that time, I was really wanting to know, do I need to be a vegan?
Well, I don't think anybody's going to want to tell you to be that because, boy, they're going to get blasted if they do.
No, it's not about being blasted. It's also about circumnavigating the globe.
Right.
It's about living with natives. It's about studying history and anthropology and paleontology and getting into biology as a science.
Well, I mean, if you want to do it, go ahead and do it. If anybody wants to do what they want to do, go ahead and do it. But are you supplying the biological demand? How are you feeling with it? If you're losing body fat and feeling great and gaining muscle and being healthy as you age, and don't forget, women, you've got your periods, your menses, you've got your post menopause, you've got to bear children. I mean, you need to be strong as a female. Never mind raise those darn kids, too.
That's
so
why
you need to make sure that you're supplying the biological demand.
Well, that's why one of the functional types we look at is your ethnic origin. It's like, where did you come from? How did you get here? How did your species evolve? Did it evolve from eating nuts and beans? Is that all it ate? No. We come from a hunting-gathering past for millions of years. That's how the genome came to be. And what we're doing now is we're destroying it. We're destroying the species. Look what they've done in the last couple of hundred years to America. The American Indians lived there for 10,000 years and preserved the environment. It's unbelievable. We can go on and on and on.
I know. Now you can go on and on and on. Anyways, that's it for CHI Update.
It isn't. I'm the one that's supposed to say it's time to end this thing. Okay, so I guess when...
Only because we've got a time limit here and we have a special guest.
Never mind the time limit. You're always trying to yank me off the stage with that bloody hook.
Well, gee, and I wonder why. And I wonder why.
Okay.
I might need some special earplugs
so
I can turn you on and turn you off.
To terminate the event of a lifetime.
Okay.
Okay, so everyone out there, watch Zeitgeist 3, zeitgeistmovingforward.com. What is your final word?
My final word for the month of February 2011 is by Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. Loving is not just looking at each other, it's looking in the same direction. Na 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 na
na na na na na na na na na na na na na.
You don't even do that right.
I do it right in my own head.